when I left my ex-husband, I found myself in this really weird place because I didn't know anybody. Like, I had friends before I met him, and during the time I was married to him, he slowly isolated me from each of those people, and I had a few friends left. None of them were local. And then I moved to a different part of town, which in St. Louis is like a different city, basically, when you move to a different part of the county. And so I didn't know anyone at all. I didn't know what to do, but I knew I needed to get a freaking life. You know what I'm saying? Because here I was a single mom. I literally had no one to go out with, no one to hang out with that I wasn't related to. And at the time, some of the people I was related to were a little toxic. So I needed to know what I could do. And I hear this from a lot of my clients, a lot of people here on YouTube. People complain about they don't have any friends, they're isolated. Today, I'm going to share with you 10 places you can meet new people or reconnect with friends as an adult, essentially how to revive your social life after a toxic relationship. Kind of the rub is that we kind of almost want to isolate ourselves after a toxic relationship. We need alone time, and a lot of us are like, I'm an empath, I personally need my alone time desperately, at least an hour a day, or I don't feel like I'm taking care of myself properly. When we are in those relationships, we are isolated by the narcissist or whoever else is in our life. They do this because they want to control us. They want to minimize us and minimize the opportunity that we might have to, number one, have somebody point out to us what is right in front of us but we can't see it, like the treatment, the way they're treating us, things like that. People who will help us see their flaws. And number two, they don't want anyone who might actually support us in our efforts to get away from them, right? They want to make sure that they kind of have us trapped. And so I think that's part of the reasons, some of the reasons that they isolate us from our friends and close family members and things like that. So like I said, when we finally do get away, we have very few connections left, socially speaking. A lot of us. Not all of us, but a lot of us. And like I said, solitude is important, especially as we're going through recovery. And for me, even now, I still need that quiet solitude time every day. But just as important as that is socializing. And you know, we talked about polyvagal theory before, and we talked about how polyvagal theory states that one way you can stimulate the vagus nerve is to socialize. By the way, stimulating the polyvagal nerve, you can do that through a lot of other things, which I did a whole video about the other day, but you know, deep breathing, cold water, cold air, anything like that, humming, singing, gargling, things like that. Those are a few self-help things. You can go see that whole video if you want to. And socialization is one of those other things. And when we do stimulate that nerve, a lot of times it helps us to relieve our trauma. It's a long story. Go watch that video if you want to see that. A lot of us find ourselves socially anxious and even suffering from like almost debilitating social anxiety after one of these relationships. I'm going to share with you 10 ways, 10 places, 10 ways, actionable things that you can do to meet and or reconnect with people so we can revitalize our social life, which is important for us. Number one, start with the support groups. So if you have already joined the narcissistic abuse recovery support groups and you're kind of past that point, there are other groups you can join in the meantime to kind of get your social wheels rolling again. For example, we have the Shine Buzz Daily group, which is not about narcissists, which is all about feeling good every day. We also have the Span Book Club, which is just about reading and talking about books. That is run by Sarah Brown, one of our awesome admins. And then the Queen Being Bees, which is the Boldly Evolving Empaths group, which is next level stuff. And if you're interested in those, you can go to queenbeing.com/group-support or queenbeing.com/span, S-P-A-N. These are online groups. These are a good way to kind of start and find people to connect with online safely. And then when you're ready, you take the next step and you go out into the world. I suggest that you start by trying to reconnect with old friends if possible. So there might be old friends that you have locally or nearby that you kind of just lost touch with. Certainly some of those people might not be interested in reconnecting to you in a friendship, but I would bet that right now off the top of your head, you might be able to think of at least one friend that you had before that might be thrilled to hear from you now. So one thing you can do is reach out to old friends, reconnect, whether they're local or long distance, reconnect with an old friend, make plans to get together, maybe go have a coffee or a drink or whatever, do something to take that step. And if you explain to them exactly what happened, look, I'm really sorry, I was in this bad relationship, I got isolated from everyone, and I miss you and I'm sorry, you know, most of the time they're gonna feel you and they're gonna understand. The third thing I was gonna suggest is you can go to church or synagogue or some other kind of spiritual place where you can connect with people who are on a similar spiritual level to you, and then you can join the women's group or the men's group or help out with the youth group or whatever it is that you wanna do as part of that community. Churches and synagogues and things like this have really great communities. Then number four, get involved in the community in general, the community that you live in. So you can join like local clubs or committees, get involved in like community beautification groups, or like sometimes they have gardening groups, or they'll have volunteer teams that'll go around and bring food to people, charity groups, things like that, different activities. You know, a lot of times the community centers will have things that you can do there with your kids or without. There'll be Ladies Day Out or Men's Weekends or whatever. Then there are things like the Moose Lodge and the Elks Lodge and the community center there and things like that. And then also don't forget about your kids' school. If you still have kids in school, there's like PTA, there's like different organizations you can get involved with there. Like I'm a band mom, you know, whatever it is for you. So those are some things you can do locally in your community. Number five, you can start your own group. One of my clients started a knitting group, and for a long time it was really helpful for her to connect with people who run it. And it was a bunch of intellectuals in a knitting group. And your own book club, maybe want to start painting. And speaking of painting, this is not even on my list, but go to one of those sip and paint things. You don't even have to bring wine if you're not a drinker, but just go and have fun and maybe meet some new people that way. So starting your own group is that point. If you have an interest and you think you can pull together a few people locally, or you can put up an ad somewhere locally and bring a few people in, very helpful. Number six, speaking of bowling team, sports, you could join a local softball, volleyball, bowling team, soccer team, anything like that. And this is another one that I didn't put on the list, but a municipal band. If you play an instrument, you can join a municipal band. My son asked me to do that today because I play a bunch of instruments from back in the day when I was younger. A municipal band or a choir if you like to sing. Number seven is a little different. It's find a place where everybody knows your name, yo. What I mean is it doesn't have to be a bar. It can be a bar if you can safely go to a bar. I would suggest like a coffee house or a restaurant that you go to every day. Maybe not every day, but someplace locally close to your home. Maybe you can walk there, or you can, it's a really short drive, where you can just go and kind of maybe stop in, say hi to the people there, have a cup of coffee, go on your way, whatever. When you have a place that you can go to where people know who you are, a lot of times that is a good launching point for a social life. Number eight, neighbors and your neighborhood. So get outside, like if you have a dog, go walk your dog. If you don't have a dog, go speed walk or whatever, or just go meet your neighbors if you haven't yet. You know, if you live in an apartment complex, maybe someone new moves in, you go over, you bring them up, you know, a plate of cookies. Same thing if somebody moves into your neighborhood next door. If you're outside and you see your neighbors outside, go over and say hello. You know, reach out to people that are literally right next door to you, and you might be surprised at the great friends you can make. Now, that's not always the case, and I'm not saying it is, but it's one option. Number nine is what I did back in the day. I also did some of these other things, but people you work with. I found myself, again, friendless after I left my ex, and I ended up meeting a really nice group of people at work, two or three couples in the group, and myself, the single person. But they were always happy to let me go out with them when they went out, and so I did, and I had a lot of fun. It was safe. I had, you know, friends around me, and I was able to sort of meet some new people that way. So go out with your friends from work. Never hurts. Obviously, you want to keep it, you know, above board when you do that. And then finally, number 10, meetup.com. We talk about this one all the time, but in most areas, you can get on meetup.com and find groups within a certain range of your house where you can find people with similar interests, find people who are doing activities you want to do. I've seen dinner clubs, I've seen wine tastings, I've seen, you know, social clubs, I've seen work-related stuff, you know, like if you're into social media or painting or whatever. Whatever it is that you're into, somebody on meetup.com is probably already doing that in a group. So just go look locally, browse. If you know exactly what you're looking for, type that in. If not, just go look in your area and with, you know, within a certain radius of your home. You'll be shocked at all the people who are on the same page as you looking for or trying to be part of some group like that. Another one of my clients struggled with the same thing like we all do, and she found this app called Bumble. I think you have to be really careful with any sort of app that you get involved with, but apparently she met several platonic female friends through this app called Bumble. So that's something else you can look at. I can't personally vouch for it, but I can tell you that this worked for that client.
The question of the day is, did you or do you struggle socially after a toxic relationship?
Share your thoughts, share your ideas, share your experiences in the comments section below, and let's talk about it. As always, thank you so much for being a part of my day and a part of my life, and hey, thanks for letting me be a part of yours. It really does mean a lot to me. Now, before I go, make sure you take a look at the videos I'm leaving for you here and here, and while you're at it, hit the subscribe button so we can stay connected and continue on this healing journey together. I'll see you soon.